You're tuning in to the Audible Weed Walk, episode 63. Hello, this is Nina welcoming you in this very special sunny festive day. We just had completed Diwali or Deepavali, though the day completely does not match. Diwali, that is celebrated across northern India, and Kali Puja is a worship of goddess Kali to ward off the evil in the east, finds its similarity in Kartigai Deepam in Tamil Nadu, which is not exactly at the same time, but close. Now, let's look at the three G's. Green, ghost and ghouls. Actually, well, can add a fourth one, goblins, to this list. About the first G, greens, why, how and what are eaten, I have covered in a couple of podcasts. Most detailed is the Audible Weed Walk number 18, aired in November 2020. If you look at the radio website or the YouTube Edible Weed Walk channel videos, you can find this one with a blue Audible Weed Walk logo with the episode number. If you are really interested to explore the various aspects of eating greens after a gap of several months, why is so, why is the gap, what to eat, etc., please do listen to that. In this podcast, we'll explore the other G's and arrive at a full list of wild weedy greens and their properties. How's that? I have received a meme, like many good ones that goes around this part of the year. I don't know the origin of this, but it's sounded darn good. It's a short ghost story. A person goes to books himself to a guest house in a remote place. And the particular guest house has a reputation of being hosting a few ghosts. So this person is really, really interested in ghosts. And in this time of the year, that's what people do. And he ordered a cup of tea. And as he was drinking his cup of tea, he asked the person who delivered the tea that, excuse me, do you believe in ghosts? So this old man who has made a darn good tea responded, well, I didn't until when I was alive. So that is the ghost story. And I read somewhere Diwali or Deepavali is described as Indian version of Halloween. Perhaps because of the lighting of the lamp part, I don't know. Deepavali, which is prevalent in the north of India, has something called Chota or small Deepavali, typically 2 days before the Diwali celebration. This year, due to some lunar counting, it was the day before. On this day, the ancestors are remembered. This day is also called Dhanteras in several parts of India, or Dhanvantari Trayodashi. Who is that? Well, even in the colloquial conversation, if a medical professional happens to be extremely good in her or his ability to heal, the doctor is compared to Dhanvantari even to this day. Legend says that he was the king of Varanasi, but eventually he got recognized as a god himself, an incarnation of Vishnu, who had got the nectar of immortality and is known in the Puranas as the god of Ayurveda. Guess when is his birthday? You got it right. It is the day of the Chota Diwali or Dhanteras, or as in Bengal, we call it Bhut Chaturdashi. In India, this day is celebrated as the National Ayurveda Day. Coincidence? Well, I could have added another G to my list. You know, God, greens, ghost, cowls and goblins, right? Halloween takes place at the end of October, and it's a pagan in its origin. That is, traditional cultures practiced it, and the practice lingered on as it got incorporated into the Abrahamic traditions. Looking across the world on the similar celebration as Halloween, one finds, surprisingly, they're closely packed together. Between October 31st and November 6th in Mexico, and around And in this, in that area, people celebrate the Day of the Dead. In Spanish, I think it's called Día de Muertos. It is a celebration of life by remembering those who have passed away through much fanfare, celebration, funny and happy anecdotes about the departed. Then there is the Celtic celebration festival of Samhain, which literally means the end of summer, when after the harvest, people would light bonfire and wear costumes to ward off the ghosts. It seems in the 8th century, Pope Gregory III designated November 1st as the time to honor All Saints, who are also known as All Hallows, hence the source of the word Halloween, on this day, and All Souls on the 2nd of November. Interesting, isn't it, how our own ghostly festival, or Bhoot Chaturdashi, is also celebrated around the same exact time. Remember I had mentioned about Mahalaya Amavasya? Amavasya is the no moon day, when the Pitru Paksha ends and the Devi Paksha begins. On that day marks the day one of the 10-day celebration of the Durga festival, Durga worship of goddess Durga. On Mahalaya, on no moon day, the ancestors are remembered. That day, it seems, is a very powerful day, when the gates of the earth, heaven and hell open simultaneously. So all beings roam freely about. In one story I read, Bhoot Chaturdashi the Chota Diwali marks the end of that period. At the end of this day, the spirits return home, all content after the, you know, going around and being honored during the, you know, all the festivities. Bengali families lit up 14 earthen oil lamps or diyas in the darkest corner around their house. It is believed that 14 generations of their ancestors come to visit on that day and the light guides them. Other free-ranging spirits roam as well and they feel good about the lamps as well. In another story, the lamps ward them off. So however you take it, none denies the presence of the ghost cults and the goblins on that day. These ghostly characters are so much ingrained in Bengal that there is some nostalgic familiarity and closeness to them. I myself know at least about 25 to 26 categories of ghosts and ghouls and that I can name. My favorite is Brahmadaitya, who's learned, benevolent, and lives either on the neem as a direct indica or bale, Aegle Marmalos tree, and it's basically a protectorate. There are women ghosts who are separate from the men, ghosts that lives in the tree as opposed to ghosts that prefers bamboo groves, married women ghosts as opposed to unmarried women, those who are obsessed with fish, and those who are simply looking for their own severed body parts. Ghostly characters are influence many writers, artists, filmmakers, songwriters. Bengal is full of songs about ghosts and stories about them. Gupinga in Bakabain was written by Upendra Kishore Roy Choudhury, Satyajit Ray's grandfather, who wrote the story, and Ray made a movie film on that. Tagore himself wrote several ghostly tales. Ghosts who are familiar, scary, but sometimes friendly. Of the contemporary artist, I found Disha Chakraborty's rendition of the Ghosts of Bengal delightful and have adapted it as a meme in deepest appreciation and acknowledgement to the drawings. But why all this remembering ghosts and spirits? Is there some semblance of logic in all this? There is. In Northern Hemisphere, it is the beginning of the winter. In the Indian subcontinent, it is supposed to be the end of the southwestern monsoon. Ailment, feeling heavy, cough and cold are common during the long monsoon months. But as the monsoon ends, typically just after the Mahalaya and no moon night, slowly the weather changes to cold. All these while during the monsoon, But all along during the monsoon, no one could eat the wild greens. But now, as the cold sets in, the ailment that comes with the change of season, with the onset of winter, can be warded off by eating healthy, nutritious, wild weedy greens. Like the ghosts themselves, they are toughies, and therefore they can fight the real fight to keep all the bad spirit off from the body and bring in well-being. Bhut Chaturdashi is also the day of the Choddo Shag. Choddo, or 14, and shag refers to the wild, weedy, wonderful grains. It is no one. It's not one or two. It's the incorporation of all the 14. Is also a celebration of the diversity to boost immunity, collectively fight infectious disease and outbreaks that occur in the post-monsoon and thus bring about well-being. I would suggest look at these dates objectively. Rain did not stop this time of the year, this year, and had lingered on. So the starting of the greens with a bang perhaps should be delayed by a week. We are on the northeast monsoon areas, and we need to wait now until the end of December. If, of course, the rain stops as per schedule by the mid-December. So the thumb rule is heavy rainfall season, no eating greens. Wait for the rain to stop, have at least 2 weeks of dry period, and then enjoy the lush, wonderful growth. Must say, it is really hard to resist the wild greens, wild weedy greens now. They look so wonderful. Traditionally, in the northeast monsoon areas, there was no such curfew time for the wild greens because the rains were in spurts and dry period and in spurts of dry period and rain and cloud time. Not like this, not like it is right now. There's a lot of lingering cloudy days and rainy days, and now we are in a kind of a lengthy rainy season. I would therefore suggest let's follow the thumb rule. Remember, the 14 is just a number. More diversity you incorporate is better. Here is a list of wild, weedy greens that I could find just walking outside. I will wait till December to eat them, though. I'm giving you the list here. Abrus precatorius, Indian licorice. It's antifungal, antibacterial, and anti-migraine. Ivarilnata, English name is mountain knotgrass. It is antioxidant, treats cough, and protects bladder or kidney. Acrithus aspera, it's a prickly chaff flower. It's antiparasitic, protects liver, and antioxidant. Alternanthera brasiliana, Brazilian joyweed, which is anti-inflammatory, prevents infection, and analgesic. Alternanthera ficoidea, or slender joyweed, it's antiviral. Assistacia gangetica, absolutely wonderful, yum greens these are, locally now called as mushroom spinach, is anti-inflammatory, treats bronchial conditions. Cardiospermum helicacabum, balloon vine, it is antibacterial, antifungal, antiparasitic, and many others. Cumelina bengalensis, with this beautiful, wonderful blue flowers, it treats sore throat and dysentery and also lowers blood pressure. Then diamond flower, which is Hediotis corymbosa, protects liver and detox and purifies. Hemidesma indicus, which is Indian sarsaparilla, it is anti-inflammatory and reduces fever. Hibiscus subterifera, this is rosella. It treats cardiac and nerve diseases and mildly laxative. Justicia procumbens, these have beautiful, wonderful flowers which looks like tiny little orchid flowers. They treat cough, prevents and reduces fever. Osimum tenuiferum, this you know, it's tulsi, which has too many medicinal properties that I can list. And Peperomia pellucida, shiny bush, which is anti-inflammatory and analgesic. So with all that, you have plenty of greens looking out for you to ward off the bad spirits and to bring in the very good ones. With that thought, stay well and stay safe. I see you next time.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the city of Dome.